Pray. Almighty and gracious Father, we give you thanks today. We give you thanks with joy for the blessing of this new day, for the privilege of these last few nights, the opportunity to witness not only the abilities and talents of so many people, but to witness to our church and to our community the powerful message of Christmas. Fill our hearts with joy today as we look to you, Lord Jesus, the one who has come, the one who is our day spring from on high, the one who is the light of the world, the one who shatters the darkness and gives light to all who see. We pray in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, good morning. It is great to see you. And what a privilege to be with you again. I believe the last time I was here, it was summer. We weren't wearing winter coats. We didn't have hats on our head. And, well, there's still no snow outside. But it's much, much colder than it was. So great to have the opportunity to be with you. And in a little while, during our announcement time, you're going to have the opportunity to hear briefly from my colleague. And you already heard from Pastor Dan. The joy that your congregation brings to Concordia University. Wow. I mean, I get the privilege of having a front row seat at the transformation of lives that are made possible by your generosity, that are made possible by your faithfulness, by your prayers, by your support. And so before I dive into our message today, let me simply say thank you. On behalf of those students, you are making an uncommon Concordia experience possible. And for that, you are changing lives, not only here on this earth, but changing lives for all of eternity. Praise be to God. And I praise God for every one of you and for your commitment to our Concordia family. It's incredible. Now, as we're here on this Sunday, December 12th, Concordia students are going to be cramming tonight. They're going to be cramming tomorrow. They're going to be doing final exams throughout this week. We have commencement a week from today. But for so many of us, walking through this Advent season, undoubtedly, you know, we have calendars that are filled with different things. And maybe more so this year than what we were able to do last year. Of course, the last three nights have been at your Christmas concert. But specifically in our readings today, both from Isaiah and from Luke, we hear and we read about this theme of light. And even as we look around the church right now, we see more light than is normal, more light than was here in July when I was last here. In our homes, we probably have more light, both on the inside and on the outside. How many of you are those individuals where you put up those Christmas lights on that 55-degree November day? Yeah, try to get ahead of it a little bit. And how many of you are the, oh shoot, it's now 21 degrees, but I need the lights up kind of people? Okay, yeah, you know, there's a few of us, you know, or maybe we've been like that in the past. You know, a couple years ago, my wife and I moved into a new house, and so had to figure out the light situation. We figured it out last year. This year, you know, I was that guy in November putting up the lights, and just for the record, I plugged them all in before they went up. And then they went up, okay? And they look great, except this about 12-foot section, all right? That's not working, so I go up there, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing this. And then finally, I said, forget it. You know, no one's going to be looking at my lights because across the street is Dale Bennett. And Dale Bennett is a legend in Hamburg Township. Dale Bennett has been putting up the ultimate Christmas light display for decades. And Dale, in his upper 80s, still living alone, put up a beautiful display again. So when I drive home from work, I see Dale's display, and then I see my very humble display. When I wake up in the morning, I look out my bathroom window, and I'm awoken by Dale's bright lights, and I look to make sure mine are still on, okay, all right? So, I mean, Dale has it together when it comes to Christmas lights. You know, in our own family, our tradition, we put up our trees, and again, you know, to be totally transparent, to lay it all out there, I'm kind of a cheapskate. All right, so if the lights stop working on the tree, I'm going to just buy another set of lights rather than buy a new tree, right? I mean, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, we're going to make this thing go as long as we can. This year, though, I actually have a whole section of the tree, one of the trees, that isn't quite working that well. But, you know, we've come this far in Advent. We're just going to tough it out for the rest of the year, okay? Last night, our plan was to go to the Toledo Zoo Lights, which is a family tradition of ours. But it was cold, it was nasty, it was windy. We decided not to do it. But again, maybe like you, your calendar or your December is maybe a little busier than other times of the year if you want to embrace all the different activities, including great things here at the church to prepare you for Christmas. You know, we can do a lot of things around Christmas without ever being changed by Christmas. And I want us to explore this a bit today. Because again, activities, money, shopping. I made the mistake of going shopping a little bit yesterday with my wife. My boys were not around. And so my wife and I took our two girls shopping. And we went into a JCPenney. Bad idea. Okay? Because the line was so long that while they were shopping, I just went and I just stood in the line. And I just waited, you know, I like did my part, just waiting there, right? I mean, like, things are a little busier than they were last year, and I really believe that we can fill our lives all the time, but especially at Christmas, with things around Christmas, without ever being changed by Christmas. So the question today is, what will it take? What will it take to be changed by Christmas? What will it take to be changed by Christmas? And we get this incredible, incredible message in our readings for today that help us to see that it's not about simply going through the motions. Advent is not simply this filler before we get to Christmas. Maybe Advent, maybe this series, maybe your time spent this morning is actually such a great investment, because when we encounter God's word, it has the potential and the power to change our hearts, to change our lives, to change our perspectives, even to change our attitudes. And I don't know what your attitude is this morning. Some of you are that tired, cranky. Some of you are that irritated, cranky. Some of you came filled with joy. Some of you maybe thought or you woke up this morning filled with joy, but then life happened and grandkids or kids happened, right? And maybe you're not sensing that same peace or love, or today on this third Sunday of Advent, we light the pink candle. It's Pink Sunday, the candle of joy. Maybe we feel like that's been ripped out a bit. Maybe the last couple weeks have ripped that out for us. I mean, what a terrible, terrible series of events that have happened, even locally, regionally, nationally. I mean, we're not that far from Oxford. And what happened there, we're so keenly aware can happen just about anywhere. So today, this morning, as we continue to focus on the O Antiphons, the ancient prayers from the 7th or 8th century, rooted in the book of Isaiah the prophet that we heard, but finding their fulfillment in Jesus, we begin to hear something different. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordans, Galilee of the nations. Well, who's he talking about here? Okay, people are being caught up in the fear of the Assyrian destruction. We're going to give you a little bit of history right here. Okay, hopelessness reigns throughout this area in the Middle East. If we actually backed up into Isaiah 7, Isaiah 8, we would see that the Assyrian invasions, the Assyrian empire, this massive empire, is coming in to towards the northern kingdom of Israel. And this causing a food shortage, it's causing anger, it's causing unrest. People are being, they're afraid of what's going on. And it's awfully tempting for even the people of God to blame God. And I wonder how many of us actually are there today. That given some of the unrest that we feel right now, maybe we're starting to point our fingers, and maybe even at God. You see, even though Israel, the northern kingdom, Judah, the southern kingdom, had rejected God's word through the prophet Isaiah, God still has a plan. God still has light to give. Because God himself is the giver of life. And so these two tribes, these areas, these lands described, they're ultimately, taken down by the Assyrians in 722 BC. And if you fast forward, this is actually an area around Galilee. Pastor Dan could talk about this better than anyone because he's been there so many times. Let's go to verse 2. The people who walked in darkness, and indeed they walked in darkness. They walked in darkness. You know how many kings there were in the northern kingdom? A lot. You know how many of them were good kings? None. All right? None. None and done. Okay? 9 verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. Notice the past tenses here. Have seen. Has shown. These are actually called in the Hebrew language prophetic perfects. Okay? Which means that they are past tense verbs used to speak of future events. Huh? Okay? What does that mean? It means it's guaranteed it's going to happen. Okay? The author is speaking as if it's absolutely 100% going to happen, which is why the author is speaking in the past tense, even though it hasn't happened. And guess what? 700 years later, indeed, in Jesus Christ, it happened. You see, the people of that time, when they're caught up in the dark, with homes that only had flickering lights, darkness was not welcomed. And yet they're living in the midst of it. Let's just reflect for a moment. Again, because we're here in lights right now, and we even have the beautiful sunlight coming in right now. We see the light on the trees. We have a special Advent wreath that has more lights on it. But let's think about darkness. Let's contrast for a moment this danger of darkness and light. You see, darkness can often bring out fear. Brings out fear. Many of us have probably experienced real darkness deep in the woods, or maybe, of course, when electricity has gone out. We experience that. We see it. I remember a number of years ago, I was actually finishing a night class at Concordia. And as I left campus, driving my 2003 Toyota Camry, I'm driving over the Huron River on the bridge on US 23, when all the lights in my car went out. It's about 10 o'clock at night. I'm on the bridge. All the lights went out. I'm no mechanic. I had no idea what was going on. I had about a mile to go until exiting at Washington Avenue, and the lights are out. First thing I do, I look in the rearview mirror. Okay, I don't see any cars around me. I'm like, okay, I think I can get there. I think I can go there. But it was terrifying. It was terrifying being in that complete darkness. John chapter 3 verse 19 says that people love the darkness instead of light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Which really leads to another danger of darkness, this fear of being found out. Throughout Scripture, we see that in darkness, we can hide the evil deeds. And even symbolically, even metaphorically, for any one of us, in darkness, things can be hidden. We can hide what's going on. And I wonder, I just wonder, you know, so many people, and again, if we're looking in the mirror rather than looking just out there, this is far more personal. Do any of us have this fear of being found out? Something. Something we did. An issue with our past. A current struggle with sin. A dark part of our soul. A dark part of our life. A dark part of our past that if brought to light, we feel would destroy us. That it would compromise our family. That it would ruin our reputations. That it would cause our coworkers to look very differently at us. That might get us fired, you know, whatever it might be. You see, darkness can bring this out. And yet what I love about the O Antiphons, what I love then about the New Testament, is that we see, despite our fear of being found out, Jesus calls himself, Jesus is himself the key that unlocks the door and that sets the prisoners free. Hidden secrets. I'm not done quite yet, okay? Hidden secrets keep us locked up. Hidden secrets keep us prisoners. But the one who is the key is the one who always sets us free. Another danger of darkness, most vividly, is actually that of death. You see, sometimes we're tempted to believe or tempted to say, death is just a part of life. There's nothing further from the truth. Death is not simply just a part of life. God didn't create us as human beings in his image to die. Death is not a part of just the way it is. Death is a consequence of sin handed out in Genesis chapter 3. God's desire for you is not death, but rather life. Full and abundant life in him. And yet, on this side of eternity, what we experience, what we saw in Oxford, what we witness in our families, what we see way too much in horrible, horrible situations, is the consequence of sin vividly displayed in the power of death. So Luke chapter 1. Into the darkness comes a great light. O come, thou day spring from on high. And if I could sing, I'd be happy to sing it, but I can't, so I won't. So you know the words. O come, thou day spring from on high. Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 76. Zechariah, who's the father of John the Baptist, filled with the Holy Spirit, prophesied these words, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light, okay, make the connection back to Isaiah chapter 9, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. You see, today, 2021, what Isaiah had prophesied has happened. What Zechariah has said has happened. Jesus' life brings light to all of humanity. And today, Jesus' life brings light to the darkness of our souls, to the darkness of our world, to the darkness of the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Jesus' life brings light to give us today, to give me today, to give you today new courage. Despite fear, that we face. God gives us courage in Him. There's a reason that throughout Scripture, God continually reminds us and calls us to be men, women, and children of courage. Be strong. Be courageous. Despite the fear that we face, we can have courage in Christ. Jesus' life brings light to give us freedom, a new freedom despite what our past looks like. Because Jesus buried your past. Jesus buried your sin in His own death and has given new life to you through the power of His resurrection. And Jesus gives today, through His life, a new life to you despite the temporal nature of death. You see, it's in Jesus, the light of the world. Jesus, the light of the world. In Him, God brings you today exactly what you need. And He knows what it is. Do you need hope today? Do you need peace today? Too many things going on up here. Too many things happening in here. Too many things around you right there. The Prince of Peace comes to be your peace today. What about joy? You know, has the sadness of the season sucked some of the joy out of your life? The beauty of our Christ child is that as a babe born in Bethlehem, He comes in joy to bring joy, to allow us then today, as the Holy Spirit lives in us, to be men and women who live and who lead with joy. He's our hope. He's our peace. He's our joy. You see, there's so many things around Christmas that remind us that we're getting closer to Christmas. But they're not going to change us. It's only the One who is the light of the world, O Dayspring from on high, who can change our hearts and our minds. So what will it take? What will it take in this Advent season, in this time of preparation? What will it take to be changed by Christmas? If you want to be changed, let that light of Christ guide your way. Be reminded of that through His Word. Continue to be surrounded by God's people in worship. Live in community. Talk to one another. Encourage. Pray for. Light those candles as powerful reminders that indeed Jesus is the light of the world, the One who shatters, the One who dispels all the darkness around us, for here, for now, and into all of eternity. Let's pray. O Dayspring, O Thou Dayspring from on high, thank You, Jesus, for being the light of the world, the One in whom we have life, the One in whom we have joy, the One in whom we have peace, the One in whom we have hope. Even despite the challenges that we face, Jesus, You are a God of hope. May our hope be found in You this day. May our peace be found in You. May our joy be found in You. Not simply in all that surrounds this time of the year, but in the essence and in the meaning, the significance of this season and of this day. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that in You we find forgiveness, that in You we find peace. Guide us today into that joy and into that peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.